Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett, and today we are talking waiver wires and just a bit of a round nine review. And to help me do that, as always, Stevie Fizz. How you doing, pal?
Yeah, good, Jono. Thanks, buddy. Welcome to all the listeners. Hope you had a good day. I had a great day yesterday getting breakfast with my family.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I've discovered Baby Fizz loves bacon. It's a very proud day as a father to know the child is in love with dead pig as much as you are. But, Jono, I understand you didn't have such a happy ending to your day at the beer festival. Something about a chili beer?
Yeah, I was at the Gabs Festival on Saturday afternoon, and the last beer I had was the a chili beer that Mountain Goat produced, and it's got two of the hottest chilies in the world, the Carolina Reaper and Scorpion Chili, both measuring about 1.2 million on the Scoville chart, compared to a jalapeno, which is 4,000. So big difference there, and a bit of a stomach burn when you've been drinking different types of beer all week, and you got to spend half an hour in the toilet. But finding a clean one that hasn't been covered in vomit is some people had gone to town Jackson Pollock style on some cubicles.
Oh, my God, that's just horrendous. My God, what, you're animals. That's terrible.
But I do feel sorry. I was coming out of the bathroom, and there's the poor cleaner bloke just throwing buckets of water just to clean it all down. It was a horrible sight, and I felt sorry for him. But we got to welcome the Statesman. He's back from his junket to China. Building permits have been approved. Statesman land is a go. Nick Riewoldt statues and salt shakers everywhere. Welcome. Welcome to you, Statesman.
Well, it's been a good couple of weeks of travelling absolutely everywhere, and I enjoyed it immensely, but it was a bit of a rude shock when I got home. Now, to be fair to all our listeners, I'm pretty much been known as a somewhat of a stubborn man and never always listened to the doctor's advice. And one of those key things advice was to avoid processed foods. But I've continued to enjoy those type of things, and it's just been proven right. The doctor's advice was right. Lunch meat is not a good thing.
I've seen he's been dropped to the to the pool, and I'm sure someone will scoop him up as a free agent in the coming days.
Yes.
But on that... that was the big news coming out Friday afternoon that Devin Smith had copped the knee injury at training, moved the turn direction and went down. So initial thoughts was 8 to 12, but it looks like 6 weeks out for Devin Smith. Be a good little pickup if you can get him. Like Statesman done, he's dropped him to the pool, pick him up, put him on the bench if you can afford it. But also coming out of the weekend, we saw Jack Nunes get a nasty knock there. We've been off with concussion. We didn't see him again. And it's all over, fellas. Fantasy season is off. Currently, Hampton went off with a rolled ankle. He's done and dusted for the night, but hopefully he'll be back next week. We'll miss just the one, but all the best for those guys. But a bit of MRP scrutiny coming out of the weekend. We saw a big mummy had that late hit on Nick Riewoldt. And he'll be coming under scrutiny for that one. But also in the North Melbourne and Melbourne game, a lot of spite there, Steve. There was jumper punches and melees and a bit of everything going in there. So you saw people like Salem, Cunnington, and Higgins all coming under the eye of the MRP, you'd think there.
I wish.
But if you do want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors or at Statesman33. Check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. We've got Steve's A Dozen Deals. We've got Late Week Pickups and The Captain's Lounge all dropping there over the week. And check out the Facebook, where we have The Draft Doctors there. But we are talking waiver wires for the Monday show. And that's
Yeah, John, I thought there was a lot of really interesting waiver pickups this week. Certainly some guys I think are valuable to grab. I'm going to start it off with defender from GWS, Nathan Wilson, who comes in just under our 65% ownership threshold on Ultimate Footy. Obviously, if you're in a shallower league, there might be some better options, but I certainly like Wilson. He's been pretty handy for us the last couple of weeks. We used him at times last year with Williams and Shaw sort of playing more defensive roles. They look to use Wilson's pace off half back. Also like a forward from Brisbane, Ryan Lester, with Rockcliffe and Robinson out of that team. He's been getting some midfield rotations, only in 54% of leagues. He's certainly been a valuable pickup, and I like him this week.
Absolutely. I went looking for him in our league of record, but it seemed one of our league mates had grabbed him a couple of weeks before we even mentioned him here on the show. So kudos to him and enjoying his sweet, sweet scores.
Yeah, that owner in our league's known for a few pretty clever pickups.
It certainly is.
But also like Easton Wood, defender for Western Bulldogs, only owning 42% of Ultimate Footy leagues. He is probably a better super coach pick with all his ultimate, with all his intercept marks. And Matty Boyd, what's going on with him?
I haven't heard anything. I know it's out of the shoulder, but I don't know. He must have copped it. I think he copped a knock a couple of weeks ago and just mustn't have come up properly and just got to give it a bit of rest, and could be an old man injury. Who knows?
Yeah, I certainly like Easton Wood even more with Matty Boyd out of that team. Certainly providing some good run off halfback and all the intercept marks, like I said. Also like midfielder Dom Sheed. We know he's a talented young player from West Coast Eagles, only in 62% of leagues. I certainly like him against GWS this week. Think they could bounce back and do the business at home. So I think he's a good pickup there. Certainly if you're in a keeper league, he might be someone you hold on to as well. Also like Kane Turner from North Melbourne, listed as a forward. Only in 18% of leagues he's owned. And his last four games have been really good. Certainly like, you know, North Melbourne have given these young guys a game and a chance to grow, and they've been repaying the faith, because they certainly haven't let Brad Scott down in any way. Forward for GWS, Tim Taranto, also like him, only in 51% of leagues, certainly very interesting for your keeper options. And with no Devin Smith and no Brett Deledio running around at the moment for the Giants, you think his job security is pretty good, and he should be able to score you at least 70 every week. Maybe he's on your bench, but I think there's a bit of value there going forward. And lastly, definitely just a keeper option, Ben Keyes, forward for Brisbane, only in 26% of leagues his own. He's been scoring okay, but he might be a great one to pick up and look at next year if you're rebuilding.
No, quality picks. Like them all round. I had about half those blokes on my list as well. That all for you, Steve, was it?
Yes, mate.
Yep. Moving on to you, Statesman. Who are your waiver wires for the week?
Yeah, a few to add on there. Carl Amond coming off the buys and should play right through now, owned by 53%, and he's averaging 97.4 over his last three games. A 21-year-old has played 30 games and having a third-year breakout, Carl Amond for Port Adelaide. The next one's a man that's been on the fantasy radar for a long time, but unfortunately we haven't seen much of him this year, but he's just about to come back, and that's Pierce Hanley. A great little pickup, only owned by 62%. Gold Coast midfielder, ready to come back from injury, who is a proven scorer and will play right through the bye. So Pierce Hanley, a great pickup for many of the leagues out there. Ryan Lester is next for Brisbane, a forward who just keeps on performing. He's not really a person we talk about in fantasy realms, but averaging 76 as a forward and 84 for his last five games, only owned by 54%. I was interested more probably because he's Tasmanian, but interested in Hugh Greenwood playing his first game on the weekend. And he looked quite good. Obviously, a bit of a concern that his first opponent was Brisbane, but he did look quite handy, only owned by 27% and scored 93 in his first match. He's a mature age rookie, 25 years of age. So he's not going to go through any wear and tear too early. Also had a couple that we've talked about before, so I'll just mention their names. In Clay Smith, still 42% owned, and Kane Lambert, only 48% owned, which is up from the 30s last time we spoke about him. averaging 84 in his last five games and seems to have a good role, if there's such a thing in the yellow and black.
Good role, as in, would be winning a game and not blowing it in the last minute and a half.
Absolutely.
Now, some quality picks there. I like the Clay Smith one. Started off on a house on fire on Friday night, but as Geelong got on top, just slowly faded out. But that happens from time to time, but still a good pickup for me. With my pickups, as mentioned in the late week pickups article, was Dan Howe. Had a pretty solid game against the Pies. As we know, defenders do score well against Collingwood. He's just slightly above at 66%. He's a defender mid, so quality pick there. He's going to get all the time in the world for Hawthorn. And my other one is Harris Andrews from the Brisbane Lions. They are playing Collingwood this week, only owned by 7%. We know how defenders score. Steve's upset about something here. I'm thinking one of his players.
You're not going to believe it. I've lost to that stupid free kick they gave to goddamn Matty Tabner. He's kicked a goal. I've gone down by 3 points in our league.
Mate, if you get beaten by Tabner, you deserve to lose.
That's just, what is but, going on?
Harris Andrews at 7%, and any other Brisbane defender really this week, as we know. We'll edit that part out.
It's not funny.
We know how well Collingwood give up points to defenders. But if you are enjoying the show, just like Steve's passion coming through today, you can check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. We really love it if you do. Hit the subscribe button. But please do leave a review. Help us out of the brand. Gets us out there more. Nothing this week. But so move on to our reviews of the round. And kick us off with a bit of saltiness in your voice with the Steve.
The first match I want to start on is Richmond versus GWS. Richmond went down in a heartbreaker again, unfortunately for them and their fans. But the story for them is the continued low Dream Team scoring matches they're playing in. They did have the hot start, they got run down, but Dustin Martin was the star of the show from a Dream Team perspective, scored the 122, 144 Supercoach, fantastic. Alex Rance is probably their best player for mine. 105 Supercoach with all those peeling off intercept marks. What a fantastic game. Only the 74 Dream Team, not a big accumulator there. Toby Nankervis continues to get it done, not in the hitouts, but he certainly makes his hay around the ground on his way to 98 Dream Team and 100 Supercoach. Another great game if you drafted him, probably late. Sean Grigg, the unheralded member of the midfield there, very good again. 110 Dream Team, 87 Supercoach. Really interesting one for me was Dan Prestia, just invisible. You know, he had the 20 touches, but only scored in the 60s. Low numbers, really, and he's just a big question mark for me. On to the GWS. Another close win for them. Well done. The Plastics, good stuff. Slow start, played the spare man back. No big Dream Team scores, although Kelly and Whitfield just snuck over the Dream Team ton. Shane Mumford continues his ripping Supercoach form, so he'd certainly be happy with you as your Supercoach Ruckman. Nathan Wilsman just providing fantastic runoff half-back. 77 Dream Team, but 127 Supercoach. Jeremy Cameron kicked the match-winning goal, continuing his fantastic form with 70 Dream Team and 105 Supercoach. There was a few down performers, but generally this guy is the pick of the litter. But what is going on with Callan Ward?
Callan Ward, get stuffed. I have no idea.
Yeah, you sound like an owner of Callan Ward. It's just really interesting. 68 Dream Team, 62 Supercoach. He's getting all the time on the ground. He's in the centre, but...
Is it also due to the fact that the game's changed now where they're playing that fast link-up play where these inside mids just there's at least less contest in the game, so they're not getting those cheapies, that extra contest?
Oh, well, maybe. You know, all the you certainly like Paddy Cripps in that he doesn't win a lot of ball in transition, but maybe just the guys like Kelly and Whitfield and Scully, they're getting all this contested ball, whereas that was really Ward's wheelhouse. That was where he made his hay, getting the contested ball and the clearances, and he's just getting beaten to the punch by these by the young brigade. And you know, I mean, I'd be terrified if I was a Ward owner. I'm certainly not pitching any offers out there. But anyway, on to Collingwood, man. If you're a Collingwood fan, you'd be pretty happy. Jekyll and Hyde performance, but they turned it on in the second half, man. They went from killing Buckley to winning. And, Jono, it was all this man baby swag.
Pendles, all about the baby swag.
Absolutely. He certainly turned it on and got them going. Also, good game for Adam Treloar, Taylor Adams, steel side bottom. Taylor Adams having a ripping season. Jeremy Howe was just fantastic across half back. Brody Grundy, again, good dream team score. Poor super coach as usual. Jamie Elliott, kicked 3 goals, scored in the 80s. Nice return for him. He's slowly working back into it. And Dusty Moore getting some nice ruck time. Certainly been a bit down with the delivery into his the 450. So he got into it, and Robert Walls would be proud. But James Aish just got destroyed on a play. And you know what that's going to mean, boys, don't you?
The greatest!
34 touches, and this week, 41 touches. Something like 30-odd pressure acts in the VFL. It's time to unleash the Sharon Goat and save Collingwood.
Plus the marks and the tackles as well.
Oh, he's just everywhere. How did they not get him in this week? If they can't put him in, there's something seriously wrong with Bucks.
After the buys, just keep the hype.
If it's after the buys, they'll burn down the Holden Centre, and rightly bloody so. Anyway, on to the Sunday game with North. What a match. I mean, I really enjoyed watching this one. It's fantastic. A few players were a bit lighter in the pocket after this one, but North structure continued to hold up. Goldie went massive against Super Cam Pedersen, 61 hitouts and 148 Dream Team, 135 Super Coach. Robbie Tarrant and Scott Thompson were awesome across half back, just reading all the marks and scored pretty nicely as well. Ben Brown, 5 of the best, if you don't mind. Nice 90 and Dream Team 98 Super Coach. If you had Mason Wood a few weeks ago, picked him up out of the pool. He certainly did you no problems today with 86 Dream Team, 95 Supercoach. And the big superstar, man, the guy I want to talk about, Ben Cunnington. What an effort. He missed basically a whole quarter with a knee issue, and he just willed his way to 89 Dream Team, 84 Supercoach. And he basically won him the match. I mean, he was there doing everything when it was on the line. So what a great effort from Ben Cunnington. And lastly, Sean Higgins just got tagged into the ground by Bernie Vince in the first half. Followed him around the whole game, but they sent him forward in the second half where he duly kicked a highly skilled 1-4, but certainly did him no harm in the end. So, yeah.
Yeah, just on Cunnington, they missed pretty much a full quarter with that knee issue, so quite remarkable for him.
Yeah, great effort from Cunners. On to the last match, Carlton. Well, we just finished watching it, so not heaps of news, sorry, but all the usual scored well. Mark Murphy beat the tag, which was really nice for his owners there. Cruz scored well. Kerno, Cripps, Doc, Gibbs. Wiedering was just killing it off half back. Who would have thought if you put him in the back line, he'd do really well? Although he did cop a knock, so keep an eye on that one. And I guess the only one who was down was Simpson, but, you know, it was wet. What are you going to do? He's an outside player.
Yeah. Very good. And Statesman, who have you got there for your team there, mate?
Well, first we'll just look at the premiership favourites, the Sydney Swans, 3 on the trot. And Dan the Han is back, 159. What an absolute ripper game from him. Lloyd, fantastic season. He's having 122 as well. And they just the pressure was on so early, and those guys were just fully in control. Nick Newman, if he's still available on any waiver wire, pick him up. He is fantastic value. 113 this week, backing up 130 last week. Yes, his job security is a concern because he's coached by Longmire. We can all remember the trials and tribulations of Tom Mitchell. Longmire really doesn't like players who can get the footy. JPK played well, although he got a fair bit of pressure throughout the game. 105 he finished with. Callum Mills, now he started to score when the team started to play well because they actually searched for him because the pressure creates a bit of space for Callum Mills. When the team's under pressure, he needs to be more accountable for his opponent. So Callum Mills' summary is, if they're playing an opponent you think Sydney Swans are going to touch up, make sure you got him on the field. If they're playing a team you think they might struggle against, put him on your bench. Lance Franklin was very quiet for most of the game. I don't know what happened at second half. Apparently he changed boots and all of a sudden he could find that those white things you can kick him with. All of a sudden he racked up, I think, 70 points in the second half to get to 90. Callum Sinclair. Now, we talked about him being a great ruck option last year, but he just didn't do anything. I think he averaged in the low 60s. Well, he's hit some form as well. 87 was his score. Luke Park, a little bit quieter this week with 83. Isaac Heaney was the same with 70. And a poor game by Zach Jones. And it wasn't through lack of opportunities. Spent over 100 minutes on the ground and was rotating through the midfield and rotating through the wing.
Just, I can confirm as a Parker owner that those are his usual scores. Yeah, no, not being good for Luke Parker. Can confirm.
Leave my boy alone.
I will not. I'm a salty owner.
No, not at all. Now, with that comment, I'll move on to Brisbane. Dane Beams.
Just, sorry, bud.
Cover it.
Yeah, just what's going to happen with Zach Jones with all the defenders coming back for Sydney?
Well, I think they want his run and dash through the midfield. So I think you're going to find that he'll rotate through the midfield and play a fair bit off wing. I think that's proved really well for him. You get Dean Rampey back, so it gets a bit of security in defence. They've got a couple of tall options now. So I think you'll actually find that Zach Jones will be actually freed up more. When trouble happens, they'll just do a bit of swapping around the back. The interesting one is going to be whether Nick Newman keeps his place. I think he's good enough, becomes their really attacking defender, and I think that's a good mix for them right now. No doubt, two great games and two victories. He'll stay in the team. I don't think they'll change it too much. There's still a couple of fringe players in there, but they're certainly thinning out. We're not seeing the 5, 6, and 7 of them as we had earlier in the year. And Sydney's answer is they've got a great list. They've got great talent, but their depth's not huge. So when they've got most of their players, as they have now, on the park, they're actually going to play pretty good footy.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
Oh, yeah, just curious as owners.
Brisbane, Dane Beams back from injury, pumped out at 144. Fantastic effort. Dane Zorko continues his fantastic form, averaging 117 this year and just pumped out 119. Steph Martin is no doubt the number one ruckman. Who would have thought at the beginning of the year with the panic of the two ruckman system, pumped out another ton, 107. He's averaging 112 this year. Ryan Lester, we talked about the waiver wire, 87 for him. Daniel Rich has hit a bit of form too. That's now 3 weeks with decent scores, 85. Lewis Taylor, who I've been talking about for most of the year, 83, continue his good form, although he did have a poor one last week. Now, Rockcliffe out means Jake Barrett gets more of a run through the midfield, and he scored 80. So Jake Barrett might be one on the waiver wire if you're a bit thin in your midfield. And Sam May is a bit of a quieter game with 65. Now, moving on to Essendon. David Zaharakis, 137. Zach Merrick continued his great ways with 126, which is pretty much his average for the year. Mark Bagley, 120. There were a heap of tons in here. They just had so much of the footy. 120 for Bagley, 116 for Watson, Goddard, 114. Kelly tunned it up, just brought back his old form, 109. Loomberger looks like he's got the number one position sealed for 103. Hartley, Hurley, both got tons in defence. Collier, 99. Joe Danaher continuing his great form. He's now averaging over 90, gentlemen. We talked about him in pre-season. As soon as good players around him, he was always going to score. Heppel, a bit quieter, had a great start to the season, but unfortunately dropped away. And just another one, slowly hitting a bit of form, is Myers. Scored 83. Again, he might just be one on the waiver that you consider as a bit of support during the bye period. Started the season slow, obviously had the injuries, had three games now. I think he scored a 40, a 60, and now an 80. Great user of the footy, so he'll stay in the team. Moving on to the West Coast Shockers. They just have days off.
No. They travel to Melbourne, not days off.
No, but normally they play A-OK when we're talking Etihad Stadium. Today, they were just off it. Very, very slow start. Andrew Gaff ended up top scoring. Now, that's when he was 20 points at halftime, and I'm giving him a blast all over Twitter. 75 in the second half was a magnificent effort. Here's the story on Gaff. If they're performing well, he's getting the outside ball and getting an absolute heap of it. If they're struggling with contested footy, he's just not touching it. It's quite simple.
It's a classic West Coast downhill skiers, and Gaff doesn't want to play tough footy.
And the bottom line is, and he uses the ball so well, so they want him to have the outside ball. But this is a classic case. They hate that term. They don't like that term. But that's how they play.
It's right there in the proof in the footy. Was it 60-point loss or whatever it was?
Absolutely. And if anyone worried about West Coast players' scores, they all were shocking. None of them got a ton. Let's move on to the next team, which is the mighty Frio Dockers. And you know what makes Dockers so good? They've got players with the first name Lockie. And Lockie Blakely, 134. Lockie Walters, 118. Lockie Neal, 106. And Lockie Weller, 92. Fife was a little bit slow to start, but pretty good second half. Really increased his work rate. He got himself up to 90. Brad Hill continues his good form too. One of the best forwards going around at 89. He is more of an outside player, but he uses his run so well. Sandy Land's a little bit disappointing. And outside Lockie Weller, which is really interesting compared to all the other sides, defenders seem to be scoring really well. Fremantle's defenders are not. So you're talking the likes of Sutcliffe, who averaged mid-70s last year, is averaging low 60s and only scored 41 this week. Garrick Ibbotson, who we would have called a primo 4 years ago, 44. Lee Spur, 46. The list goes on, gentlemen. Just not scoring outside Lockie Weller in the defence, which is a different game style to nearly every other club.
Would that be due to it being absolutely bucketing down there and not being able to get those intercept marks off the turnovers, or just poor, just not being able to score from Ross Lyon's game plan?
I think it's more the game plan, because the defenders for Carlton still scored quite well. Even Marchbank, who is more of a marking player, actually still scored in the 70s. And, of course, Doherty, as we know, I traded him for one of the Lockies, sadly, scored a big ton again today. So I think it was 119 he scored. So it wasn't if defenders couldn't score. I think it's the game plan. So if you got a Frio defender outside the wonderful Lockie Weller, make sure you trade him or put him on the waiver wire and get one of the young Carlton boys.
Yeah, and also
over the last 3 or 4 weeks, yes, he has had a slow start today and played well, ended up with 74.
And Nathan Fyfe, no tackles, which in a wet game you thought he would have had about 25 of them. So very interesting there for Nat Fyfe with no tackles.
Don't want to ruin that manicure, Johnny.
But moving on now to my games, kicking it off with Friday night footy between the Cats and the Dogs there at the Cattery. Mitch Duncan, one of the Statesman's risky captain picks for the week, absolutely destroyed the Western Bulldogs. 169 Dream Team, 131 Supercoach. Dangerfield, absolutely sensational. All the Cats basically in that midfield play really well after having 40 tackles against the Bombers the week before. They had up to 71 at half time, was about 120 by the end of the match. Danger, 36 disposals, 12 tackles, 4 goals. Zach Smith in the ruck against Tom Boyd, absolutely destroyed him. Covered the ground really nicely, going 150 both formats, so really good if you had Zach Smith off the waiver wire or a late week pickup. Joel Selwood back into some form as well, going big, about 120 in both formats. One of my late week pickups was Scotty Selwood coming in for his first game. Wasn't tagging at all, had the 12 tackles, 120 Dream Team, 103 Supercoach. And it finally clicked for old man Harry Taylor going forward, kicking the five snags for the Cats to bury the Dogs there. And also Zach Tui was really good running out of the fence. The Doggies just seemed to be bombing it in there. And he just grabbed it and rebound there for 114 Supercoach, 95 Dream Team.
Great first up game by Scott Selwood. What can we expect out of him? We remember him as being a primo midfielder. Is he going to be up to that standard?
Well, they actually were using Mark Blixar as the tagger. He was not so much as a lockdown run, but more of a run with Bontempelli. But this is Chris Scott we're talking about, so it's going to be very hard. He's probably going to be matchup dependent for me.
Yeah, I think he's more like an 85-90 player. I think we've seen with he had the 17 tackles, and just when you're building your score with such an incredibly high tackle number, it's not sustainable. Like, we look at what happened to Tom Liberatore, those massive games early with the tackles, and then he sort of dropped off when he wasn't getting those numbers. So
he had about 26 disposals for the game and the goal.
No, it wasn't like that.
He had about 26 disposals and a goal, but...
No, it was 17 tackles, 17 touches.
So 17 disposals, was it?
Yeah. So I just kind of worry about the score building situation. Like, it's just such an outlier to have 17. I mean, no one's going to average 17 tackles for a season, are they? I mean, it's a fantastic effort. Sorry, boys, just quickly. I've been awarded an extra tackle in that league. I was down by 3 points.
Oh, Kavanagh.
So, yep, that's correct. Just in by a point. I thought you'd be pleased for me there.
Tabernas destroyed my weekend.
Bloody scaling, I hate it.
Yep, scaling in Dream Team, it's the best.
But onto the Western Bulldogs. Pretty bad night on the field and also fantasy-wise. I mean, Tom Boyd is your top Dream Team scorer with 117 and 109 Supercoach. Kicked a couple of snags, played majority in the ruck there. Mitch Wallace, fantastic first game back with 133 Supercoach, 2 goals. Let's see if he can back it up next week. We saw Jack Redpath in his second game, pretty quiet in his return, but that was just, I think, Cats defenders locking him down. Lockie Hunter, he has he's dead and buried in fantasy terms. He's just horrendous. Playing defender, not getting the ball at all. Got him. Got to look to pull him because that score is not there. He had 39 Supercoach. It's just absolutely horrendous. The Bont tried his guts out, but really well down on his form from the rest of the year. But I thought Bobby Murphy was pretty good down back. Got close to a ton in both formats there. Moving on to the Saints against Sydney Swans. Seb Ross absolutely having a year out, with especially with Armitage out. 135 Dream Team, 112 Supercoach. If you picked up Dylan Robinson as a late-round flyer, you are absolutely loving the value he's returning to you. 120 in both formats. Jack Steele being a great acquisition for the Saints. Again, 104 Dream Team. Supercoach wasn't quite there. Blake Akers had a really good game, getting the turning Dream Team in close to a Supercoach. And Kobe Stevens, back from suspension, had to owe the Saints one there as well, getting the 110 Dream Team in close to the turning Supercoach. But Saturday night at the MCG against the Pies, it was the Tommy Mitchell show, 50 disposals, 177 Dream Team, 158 Supercoach. Bucks and Clark are going at it afterwards, saying that Tommy Mitchell wasn't influential. But who gives a crap about being influential when you get scores like that? And he's your captain. Another lightweight pickup I had was Paul Puopolo. Gave you some great opportunity, a couple of snags, got the tunny Dream Team and the 90 Supercoach for you. Isaac Smith, also very good in transition there. Probably going to lose that forward status, I think, next year. Liam Shields is good. Big Boy McAvoy also having a very good year playing that solo ruck, because I'm not including that Spud Ty Vickery. And to the Crows, Rory Laird, he is in all Australian form again, going the 110 Supercoach, 114 Dream Team. Handsome, no, not handsome, I'm going to call him handsome personality, Tom Lynch from now on. because I don't like the ugly word. He was fantastic. 120 Dream Team, 96 Supercoach. Rory Sloane was tagged for a little bit, but seemed to shake that. Scoring quite well in both formats. Rory Atkins getting the ball on the outside there. Turned up in the Dream Team. And the 82 in Supercoach. But Charlie Cameron, 103 Dream Team, kicked 4 goals, 73 Supercoach, only 38% efficiency with the ball. So we saw him have a good purple pass for the year, and let's see, hopefully he can return to that form from now on. And the last team I had was the D's. They were pretty vanilla for most of the day. Cam Pedersen did well against Goldie, 120 Dream Team, 112 Supercoach, though. Steve was all about that off the waiver wire. So if you got him, you'd be enjoying his scores. Michael Hebert's been fantastic at that one down week. He's really taken that role down back, and it's really taken away from Bernie Vince. They're now using him as a tagger, and it's just killing all fantasy scores there for Bernie Vince. It was on Sean Higgins, but seemed to stop him there. And also, Tommy McDonald was pretty good for Supercoach, getting 109, and Viney, Jones, and Oliver were all solid. All right, so seeing as there's no questions for this week, we're going to wrap up the show. Thank you very much for listening. If you want to check us out on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors or at Statesman33. Check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. There's articles dropping throughout the week. And check us out on Facebook. Just search in The Draft Doctors and find us there. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.